Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Red Sox Review on WEEI.
Two ball, two strike pitch. Here it is. And he swings and drives one right center field. Back goes the center field. A great check. He jumps. It can't get it. It's over his head. A one off the wall. Mookie coming home. And the tying run is scored. 6-6. Moreland with another clutch hit. And second with a double.
Recapping the Red Sox win against the Blue Jays.
Three on, one out, ninth inning, 6-6 the pitch. Devers swings, bouncing ball, and it's in the right field, the base hit, and the Red Sox walk it off. Nunez scores the winning run as the Red Sox rally for two in the ninth to beat Toronto 7-6, their first walk-off win of the season.
Dial 617-779-7937. Now, Red Sox Review on WEEI.
I know some of you are like me. I know some of you want to see this thing bottom out just a little bit more. We were trending that direction tonight. I thought I was going to have an easy time. This is my first Red Sox review. I've certainly talked enough about him on these airwaves. I'm Evan Drellick. If you are giddy tonight, if you think this is the night the Red Sox turn the whole damn thing around, or if, you know, maybe you're a realist or a pessimist, a cynic, either way, give us a call, 617-779-7937. I don't know if this is a springboard moment. I'm not big on those kind of narratives. You know, anytime the Red Sox are going to win one on this homestand, we would start saying that, this is it. This is the moment they swing it back around. But you have to feel pretty good about it. And the one thing I would focus on if I were writing a game story tonight, all year, even in this brutal 3-9 start, they're 4-9 now after a 7-6 win over the Blue Jays. The offense has shown life late. You know, you complain about Andrew Benintendi hasn't looked too good. You know, the offensive production overall, not great. You know, the one inning they keep getting it done has been the ninth inning. You know, if the starting pitching didn't keep putting these guys in a hole, if Nate Eovaldi could keep the ball in the ballpark, a pair of home runs in the third inning, destroyed, by the way. You know, his stuff looked good, but they keep playing from behind, and that's, you know, long-term, not a great formula, but they're making it work, even with that. And by the way, they're no longer alone in last place. They're sharing last place with the Blue Jays. And Ken Giles, who didn't look great the other night, by the way, didn't look great on opening day, they didn't let him off the hook. Clearly couldn't locate. I think he was afraid of his fastball, frankly. He looked afraid of his fastball on opening day at Fenway, too. And they took advantage. Heads-up play by Eduardo Nunez. The Blue Jays embarrassed the Red Sox on opening day by running all over them. And Nunez takes third base, forces the Blue Jays' hand a little bit, puts the pressure on them to make some pitches. A good win for the Red Sox. I'm not going to be the guy that's going to say, this is it. This is when everything flips and the season's fixed and everything's perfect. You still got some things to worry about here. But if you want one thing that you can really pick out, that's been there all year so far, it's the offense late in games, and it's Mitch Moreland. My God, this team is 0-13 right now without Mitch Moreland. You should all be sending Mitch Moreland flowers, chocolates, thank yous. Mitchie two bags, Mitchie four bags. He has been phenomenal for the Red Sox so far to start this otherwise disappointing year. George and Penn, what's going on?
Yeah, how you doing? This is I'm calling from Drexel, Pennsylvania, just outside Philadelphia. We're Red Sox Nation, you know, red and blue all the way through. This is a turnaround for them, let me tell you. Me and my boys, we sensed it to start winning games again. This is unbelievable.
What now? All right, so what? Any late win on a homestand tells you that? Or is there something about tonight, the way they did it, George, that makes you feel that way?
The way they did it 2018, the way they're doing it again, they're coming back now. And I got to tell you something. It's been irking us for the last 3 years since Rafael Devers came up. We all named him out here Bam Bam because he reminds of Bam Bam with the Flintstones with the club, Bam Bam. And he's always laughing and joking around. So we named him out here Bam Bam.
Yeah. Well, sure. He's got that look to him. Just a happy kid going up to the plate. You know, Devers didn't crush that thing in the ninth, but he gave you what you needed. And the team finally gave you what you needed. I think Eovaldi tonight was a little bit like Sale 2 days ago, in so much as they both showed better velocity, but the command ain't there yet. They're not putting it where they need to. You know, when Rowdy Tellez is hitting a ball possibly 500 feet, according to the original StatCast measurements, one of the two home runs he allowed in that inning, not so good. And Eovaldi's already allowed more home runs this year than he did in his entire time with the Red Sox last year. I believe that's including the playoffs. I can double check that for you, but it's not been a great performance so far from Eovaldi. 8-plus ERA, 8.40 ERA last I checked after tonight. That's including tonight. But who cares? Nobody cares. They won. They finally won a game. You've got something to be happy about if you're a Red Sox fan. You got to start somewhere, one game at a time, every single cliche in the book. But I'll tell you, there's a little part of me that wanted to see this thing bottom out just a bit more because I think that might have made it a little bit more interesting. But you knew it was coming. You knew at some point they would start playing like the better team they are compared to the Blue Jays. Mitch Moreland, man, I'm telling you, you know, I bang on Dombrowski a lot for not finding value guys, for not making moves that are anything outside of the ordinary. Boy, did they find a gem in Mitch Moreland. More than once, they brought him back as a free agent again, and just a great job by Moreland to continue to carry this offense. Some other guys, well, we're not there yet. J.D. Martinez, he's still there. John in the car, what do you got?
Hello?
John, what's up?
Yeah, I'm sorry. The reason why I think they could turn it around is they tied it, Moreland tied it with the homer, and they went down again, the Sox, but then they kept fighting back. Usually, after keep fighting back, I think that, you know, this might turn it around.
Yeah, I easily. And that's what you're going to read tomorrow, and that's what you'll hear tomorrow, and I think that's the easy narrative. This is the moment where the Red Sox become the Red Sox again. This is what you've been waiting for. They got their rings. You know, they got to sleep for a night with their rings. They came to the park and they remembered their identity. There you go. I just wrote your Herald story back page for tomorrow. Sound good, John?
Yeah. One other thing is what, like, disturbs me is all the money they tied up in their starting pitching that they have with Price and, you know, Sale and Eovaldi. I don't know, man. These guys are like, they're not performing at a level they should be. I know it's the beginning of the year, but they should be, with the money they're getting paid, you know, giving up 5 runs in one inning, that's not good.
Yeah, thanks for the call, John. At some point, the Red Sox starting pitchers have got to do something other than put this offense in a hole. That does have to happen. But you know what, damn it, we're not going down that road tonight. We are here to celebrate one of the few things we can celebrate so far early in this Red Sox season that's not a contract extension. That's been the best thing so far to happen. Or maybe the worst if you're somebody who doesn't like how Chris Sale's thrown so far. Speaking of Sale, John and Hingham, what you got?
Hey, man. How you doing?
What's up?
Hey, speaking of Chris Sale extension, I mean, how can you fall through that? He's been having ever since last postseason.
John?
Oh, yep. Sorry, I lost you. No, I mean, 3 months in the regular season last year.
Yeah. All right. Got it. It's a good point about Chris Sale.
I don't think he remembered his take.
Yeah. It happens to all of us, you know. I don't know if John will be in this chair soon. But, John, if you remember what you had to say and call back, I guess we can try to get you there. This isn't the night to worry about Chris Sale. You know, it's really not even the night to be worrying about Eovaldi too much. It's the first night that's really reminiscent of the 2018 Red Sox, because earlier in this game, I was driving over to the studios here, preparing to work with the great Joe Cortez behind the glass for Red Sox Review, and I'm thinking, they win this game every time. They win this game 10 out of 10 times, without a doubt. You know, they have a little comeback in the middle innings, start putting some runs up. The moment Moreland ties it in the seventh, I thought that's it. I thought there's no way the Red Sox are going to end up losing this game. And the 2018 Red Sox would have been a slam dunk guarantee they win the game. That was the seventh. Then you have the eighth. And you have something you haven't seen a lot of, which is a Ryan Brazier home run. You know how many he gave up last year, including the playoffs? It's about 56 innings. 56 innings and change. Two. And I could see the Red Sox losing tonight and the callers calling up and going, Brazier's unproven. They should have done something. You know what I would have said? This isn't on Ryan Brazier. It's on the starting pitching that made it such that one home run from Ryan Brazier would be the difference in the game. Because Brazier's been excellent. He's been excellent for a while for this Red Sox team. So at some point, the starting pitching needs to take the pressure off of the offense and off of the hitters. Because the hitters have responded late and so has the bullpen. But tonight it worked. You know, you've got a middling to piddling Blue Jays team. They're not going to be anywhere in this division, not until they get some of their younger, better prospects up. Vladdy Guerrero Jr., all that type of stuff. You know, they're the dreck of the division along with the Orioles. They'll be fourth and fifth jockeying together at some point. We know they're bad. We're not taking this win away from the Red Sox, though, because they needed it. You know, I don't know they're going to win tomorrow. I don't know that they're going to beat up on the Orioles this week. And I can't tell you it's really the catalyst, but they needed something positive after that miserable ring ceremony day. Ceremony dragged too long. I'll tell you the other thing I love tonight, and I would gladly take a call or two on this. If you listened, and you should have, to the radio booth tonight on WEEI, Sean McDonough, Joe Kostig, and Lou Maloney were excellent. There was some irreverence in there. There was some humor. I think Joe Kostig let out some actual laughs. It was great if you checked it out. And if you didn't, you should tune in tomorrow. I'm not sure if we have any clips back there. Joe's working the calls right now. We'll get right back to them. All right, we're going to Lucas in Boston. What's up, Lucas?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
What's up?
I got a question for you guys. How big of a threat do you think the Rays are in this division?
They're real. I saw someone on Twitter last night.
They're murdering the White Sox in the Midwest right now. Like, I'm just kind of curious about what you guys think about that.
Well, what do you think about it?
I mean, I think they're a legitimate threat. I mean, Chris Sale's kind of concerning me. I'm not one of the guys who's just going to overreact to him starting 0-3. Like, I had concerns with the last 3 months of the season last year. Obviously, his velocity's dropping. I mean, obviously, the Yankees are competitive. The Red Sox are competitive. I'm not going to jump to random, like the Red Sox are just going to blow it this year. I don't think they are, but I would think the Rays are a legitimate threat with their pitching staff.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Lucas. I agree. I saw someone on Twitter last night, because I see every stupid thing on Twitter, saying that they didn't think the Rays were real. I think it was a Yankees fan. Of course it's a Yankees fan who thinks the Rays aren't actually a threat. If you're paying attention, the Rays won 90 games last year. Third place, which sucks for them that they were in a division that was so strong. But your first place Rays didn't play today. 10-3. Run differential of 32, plus 32. You know what the Red Sox are right now? They're minus 27. They've allowed 27 more runs than they've scored. And the Rays are the opposite. 32 more scored than they've allowed. Did a great job picking up Tyler Glasnow. Pitcher who struck out 11. His last time out, if you don't know his name, probably the only guy in the Rays people know at this point is Blake Snell, your Cy Young winner, in place of Chris Sale. But the Rays are absolutely for real. Andrew in Connecticut, what's up?
Hey, how you doing tonight? Hey, I'm not a guy who calls into the radio a lot. The reason I'm calling in is I feel like if you watch the whole game, that we saw different games. And the reason I'm saying that is because the fact of the matter is, you know, the Red Sox came from behind, 5 runs down. They were behind late in the game. They came back. They were scrappy. They played as a team. Everybody contributed. I don't, you know, Moreland did a nice job, but, you know, it wasn't the Rich Moreland show. It was really the whole team. Cora did a great managing job, putting in Nunez at the end, stealing third base. It wasn't a heads-up play. The guy stole the base. And I think that, you know, at some point, without trying to evaluate the whole season or everything that's going on, you say, hey, it's a nice start for these guys.
Well, Andrew, look, I'm with you, and I think I am saying that. You know, I'm not the guy who's going to tell you this is going to springboard the whole season. That's not my nature, because I just don't think those narratives really work that way. But absolutely, this team needed this, and it was a good win. I'm pinning a little bit more of it on Moreland because I do think he was really essential, but there were other guys involved, 1,000%.
Yeah. No, and I got to tell you, I was at the game, and I don't go to a ton of games, but I go to a fair amount, and that park was, I rarely, other than in the playoffs in a, you know, big game, have seen it that electric. It was unbelievable there. I mean, everybody's standing in the ninth inning, and the vibe was, you're going to break out tonight. And, you know, you probably could say, well, it's just wishful thinking on my part, but that was the vibe in the stadium. Like, this is our moment to get it together. And, you know, it was probably one of the most exciting games I've been to in memory, other than, you know, a World Series game or divisional game or something like that.
Thanks for the call. Andrew riding high. You know what? I got a theory on that. Game 2 of the season. April. It's cold. They just won the World Series. You know who shows up to game 2 of the season? The people who can't afford to go to game 1. The people who are probably more diehard fans, frankly. I'd be willing to bet on that. That the people looked on StubHub, found the tickets that you know, the people with the corporate tickets don't want, whatever. It's cold out. We're not going to this game. But you're a huge Red Sox fan, and you want to get out there. You want to see your boys. You want to turn this thing around and help them turn it around. There was a moment in, I think it was the ninth, where the Nesson camera was shaking. And, you know, usually I'm not watching the game on Nesson historically, so I can't say I see that a lot. But Castig was freaking out. I believe that about the energy tonight. And there have been a lot of nights at Fenway when I've been there where I would say the energy hasn't always been what you would want it to be for everything we know Fenway can be. But when Moreland hits that ball off the wall, I'm watching it right now, that camera's shaking. And I don't think that's, you know, magic effects, special effects. I think Fenway probably was jumping tonight, because the people who go to game 2 of the season are the people who are real fans who just probably can't afford to go to game 1. Terrible Tom, what's going on?
How you doing, boys?
What's up?
I just want to say this is the start of a marathon, and I don't see how they can duplicate what they did last year. Last year was a tremendous year. I predicted they were going all the way last year, right out of spring training. I figured they'd have a great year, but I just want them to make the playoffs. That's all. That's all I'm concerned.
You're okay, Tom, if they just make the wild card? Like, let's say they get knocked out in the wild card game. That's making the playoffs to you?
No, make the playoffs. Get in the wild card game. They can go all the way from there. But last year was an incredible year, and I don't see how they can duplicate it. But all I have to say is go Red Sox. I think they can do it again. They can duplicate it again this year. I mean, not the season, but they can get the World Series again. I hope back-to-back, I hope.
Yeah, you know, they're not going to win 108 games, but everybody knew that going in. I think at this point, 100's probably out of reach. But they can win this division. Selfishly, I'm hoping and thinking it's going to be a real pennant race. That you're actually going to see the Yankees and the Rays. I mean, look, the more the merrier. I want some drama. I don't know about you, but last September was boring. Let's get a little excitement. Let's get a real pennant race. Let's get our blood cooking a little bit. Let's get Fenway jumping like it was tonight. And I'll tip my cap to the Red Sox fans, because, again, there's been a lot of nights recently, last few years, where I'm sitting at Fenway and I'm going, where are you? where is this place? And then I go on the road, Yankee Stadium, jumping. Houston, same thing, those crazy Texans. Not quite the same at Fenway, but tonight, from everything I could tell and from one of the earlier callers, it was really lively, and that's what you want to see and hear in 40-degree weather in April when the team is not doing well. Alex in Boston, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? So I just want to talk about Xander Bogaerts, and I want to say how I love the extension. He is a key and a vital sign to the team. He may be the best Grand Slam hitter, but that's just kind of how he hits within the lineup. But what I can say about him more than not is he can hit a single. He can hit a double. I don't know about triples, but he will do it all. And when it comes to the end, he will be a key player to this season this year.
Well, absolutely. And I'm going to get on my soapbox for a minute with Xander Bogaerts. Not just because I broke the fact that he signed a contract extension. It's not the only reason I'm going to do it. Maybe it's part of the reason I'm going to do it. But I really did feel this way. And I said it last year. I think I wrote it last year. I still feel this way now. The most underappreciated part of the 2018 Red Sox was Xander Bogaerts. Not because nobody ever talked about him, but because relative to Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez and Chris Sale, and even David Price, Bogaerts was never really the focus. He had the best year of his career last year. Wasn't an all-star. Tremendous season from a shortstop offensively. I thought he looked better defensively, too. I could check the numbers on that, but that's neither here nor there. He's a homegrown player. He was here in 2013. He's still young. He's a candid guy. As far as players you like hearing from, particularly as a media member, but I hope fans recognize this too. You know, Bogaerts will tell you what he's thinking. He's not really afraid of it. And he's playing well. You know, the contract could take a little burden off these guys sometimes. It's hard to know when that's actually happening. It's an easy narrative, right? Guy signs a contract and he's doing well. The contract helped. What about Chris Sale? What about him? We're going to say, well, the contract's hurting him because now there's pressure to live up to it. Hashtag narrative. I'm not always big on that. We've got somebody who maybe made a mistake in how they handled their attendance at Fenway tonight. Pete, what's going on?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. We were at the game tonight, and it was funny. I was just listening to what you were talking about. We did get the cheap seats, but I'll tell you what, man. We got a lot of bang for the buck for tonight's game.
Did you stay?
We were there for the whole night.
All right. The call screen said left Sox game, and I had a rule when I was a kid that I would never leave early after leaving a game early once that happened to be a really famous game. But I'll go into that another time. The energy there was good.
The energy was awesome. I mean, there was that, you know, in the beginning when we were down by five, and you know we're going, well, here we go, but you know we came back, and then. You know, I just want to say one thing I haven't heard a lot about people talking about is Pedroia coming back. And you know, we had a couple of classic double play moments. So we got to see him. He had a nice, line drive down the first base line. I mean, I think they were, not necessarily hitting on all cylinders, but I mean, it was really great to see a lot of life. And all the talk about Sale and the money that's tied up and, it was just nice to kind of, in my mind, I kind of put all that behind, just went to see a good game and, definitely got what we paid for. It was, and by the end there, I mean, like you said, the house was shaking, you know, when Mitch Moreland hit that towering fly ball.
Feed my curiosity. What did your tickets cost tonight?
My tickets actually cost $20 a piece and we had grandstand seats.
Mm-hmm.
And we were in the grandstand, but we ended up moving down towards and on the third baseline, and we ended up by the end. I mean, we were watching people leave, and we walked down and got some, you know, what might have been $40 seats, but it was fantastic. The energy was great for those of us that stayed there. I mean, we were all doing the wave. The wave was going around a couple of times. Like it was a classic game. I was wearing two jackets. I mean, it was cold, but it was fantastic. You know, me and my wife and the kids, we had a great time. It was a really great game. You know, so, I mean, I know there's a lot of things to kind of worry about, but, you know.
No, we could be happy for a night, and thank you, Pete, for the call.
Butter on bread right there.
$20. Thank you, Johnny Gomes. $20 tonight to get into Fenway Park, and that's what gives you the energy. You get some people who really want to be there. Not there just for the pomp and circumstance and literally the Boston Pops and the ring ceremony and all that, and to say they were there at opening day. They're there because they wanted to see the Red Sox turn this thing around. Again, I'm not sold this is the moment that everything flips on. Still need better starting pitching. But you feel good if you're a Red Sox fan tonight. I was smiling in here. You know, I thought after Brazier gave up that home run, this thing's going to keep spiraling for a little bit. They're not out of the woods yet. Which, frankly, would have made for decent story, because I know at some point they're going to climb out. I think Chris Sale's going to be fine. Whatever he's going through, he'll get built up. Let's talk about Chris Sale come May. Evaldi's already got the velocity, just needs the location. The starters will be fine. But until the point that they are, these games do count. That's why the Red Sox are 6 games out at the moment. Tom in Cambridge, what's up?
Well, first off, I want to say I love so much that previous caller got in for $20 a ticket and that he got to move down on the third baseline. And that's not what I called about, but I think that's fantastic.
It's great when they let you move down, isn't it? You know, that they're not being sticklers about it late in the game, because, you know, some stadiums, some settings, just let him go down there. You know,
all about
who's it hurting? Me. Who's it hurting? You're building fans for life that way.
Exactly. But I also, the main reason I called was something you had said earlier in the broadcast about what the broadcast of the game was tonight. Because I listened to the whole broadcast on EEI.
It was awesome.
I mean, it was incredible to have McDonough there and authentic laughter from Joe and from Lou. I mean, he fit in so well. It was incredible.
McDonough, to me, you're right. And authentic laughter is the key word there, because, you know, sometimes Joe will laugh and you can tell, you know, you can tell with Lou sometimes on OMF when it's not a real laugh too.
Yeah.
But he, McDonough, you know, he didn't really give to, you know what, he didn't mind tweaking him.
He was self-deprecating, and he was also just, he kind of gave in to both of those guys. It was just such a great broadcast. I mean, I think if anyone enjoys baseball, they should dial that up.
Yeah, and thanks for the call, Tom. I agree. I love listening to it. I went to Nesson for a little bit, and actually the thought I had is, well, boy, what if you could get McDonough with Eck? That'd be fun, wouldn't it? But they did a great job. They really did. Jerry in the truck. Jerry, what you got?
Hey, what's going on? It's Jay in a truck.
I apologize.
Nah.
Sincerely and deeply.
No, I drive all day and stuff. So this is how I listen to the games, is on the radio on WEI. And let me tell you, that broadcast, where's this Sean ever been? Where has he been all this time?
There's a little football game. They played on Monday nights. It's not too well known. They found him on the streets.
No, I get that. He belongs in the booth with baseball, because he flowed so naturally. And like the last caller just said, you know, like hearing Joe laugh naturally, it brought a smile to me. I was enjoying it. The Red Sox were losing. And that whole thing about the windows, the replacement windows, and he says, and he mispronounced it. I was laughing. I was like, wow, this guy's not even scared to even, like, mess up or anything. And he's just, even Lou started laughing. I was like, wow, this is perfect. And I'm curious, how many more broadcasts is he going to be part of? Or is this just that one-shot deal he had and he's out? Or is he going
to... I should be able to get you an answer to that here coming up. I don't have it in front of me, but I think Joe Cortez, our producer, might be able to find it.
Excellent. I'm a big fan of his, and I hope he stays on.
Yeah, and he'll be part of the rotation, and thank you for the call, Jerry. We'll get to a break here pretty quick. 617-779-7937. If you're riding high after the Red Sox game, if you went to the game and you bought the tickets cheap or expensive, I'd be curious to hear from you about the atmosphere, because that's one thing I hadn't thought of coming in here. But then I did notice the Nesson camera rocking. We did have some calls talking about how great it was out there at Fenway tonight, which I think is a really encouraging sign for a stadium that, frankly, isn't always as lively as it should be in recent years. But you had a team going in tonight that was 3-9. It's freaking cold out. It's April in Boston. And you get rewarded with a classic 2018 win. That was a throwback win last night. That's what you saw last year, but you're starting to not expect it as much. But they did it again. I'm Evan Drellick, Red Sox Review, back after this.
And Joe, your humble servants here, Lou and I, don't want to tell you what to do. You've been doing this for 37 years, but I believe, based on our hour-long drop-in meeting, if there's a broken bat, you're supposed to read something. Are you not?
You are right, Mr. McDonough. Thank you so much.
Like page six. Staying on top of you.
I'm dying. I don't know if anybody else finds that hilarious, but first night with Castig, McDonough, you know, McDonough's been around the Red Sox plenty in the past, but, you know, there's a relationship there. But to just walk into the booth and tell Joe, hey, you know, you don't got to read here, right? That's funny. And the way those three played off each other tonight, Sean McDonough, Lou Maloney, and Joe Castig. No offense, Josh Lewin. Love you, Josh. Really want to be friends. I don't have any friends. Evan Drellick, this is Red Sox Review. Talking a little bit about the broadcast, if you were lucky enough to catch it on WEEI, with the kind of experimental, different combos in the booth this year. Tonight was really good, though. I can kind of understand why this McDonough fellow was on Monday Night Football. It makes sense. It adds up. One thing I was remiss to mention, should have mentioned before, maybe some people noticed it if you're at the game, this drone, it's flying over Fenway Park late in the game. According to Chris Cotillo of MassLive.com, they're looking into it. And when I say they, I mean the FAA, the Red Sox, and the Boston Police. Everybody's trying to figure out what the hell is going on with this drone. If you're the drone guy or gal, don't do this. Don't be dumb. Don't scare people. Don't create problems and take away, you know, resources from authorities who should be doing important things like figuring out how to get the Red Sox, I don't know, into a win streak. Steve in Connecticut, what's up?
Drellick, how's it going?
How are you, Stevie?
Doing very good. Just wanted to reiterate. I don't really understand why people are so concerned about how bad the starting pitching has been for the Red Sox. It is frickin' April. I mean, come on now. They just won the World Series. You know, they got a little jet lag from winning the World Series. It happens.
You sound like an excuse maker, Steve. You an excuse maker?
Well, I like to say that, you know, I'd like to see at least a full month of baseball before I judge all the teams in the American League. So I just want to make sure that everybody is on board. We are the world champions. We are going to make sure that the Yankees do not win the World Series. And Tampa Bay, you know, they may look hot right now, but they're not gonna be the ones at the top of the scoreboard at the end of the season. I just wanted to make sure everybody knows that, because right now it looks like that we're not doing that well, but I'm not too concerned.
Steve has decreed it. Steve in Connecticut. He has told you what is going to happen. Although if Steve was listening, he would know that we're kind of in agreement. I think the starting pitching will come around. I'm not worried about the starting pitching long term. Believe Chris Sale, once he is built up, once he's feeling strong, once he figures out his slider. Alex Cora was talking today multiple places, including on OMF, that it's a feeling that at this point, it's really the off-speed pitches, not the velocity, because his velocity did look better last time, and Nate Eovaldi's velocity looked really good today. He just couldn't locate. Well, he could locate, but it then got relocated very, very far away by Rowdy Tellez and Justin Smoak in the 5-run third inning. Not ideal for Nate Eovaldi. Eovaldi's an interesting long-term discussion, because you look at his career track record, he was not the guy who you saw in the playoffs. You know, that was the greatest Eovaldi's ever done. It doesn't line up with the career track record where he's been good, very good at times, but inconsistent. So I am curious what Eovaldi is at the end of this regular season. You know, what is he when he's pitching kind of more sustainably? You know, they're all letting it fly. They're letting it eat in October because that's what you're doing. The playoffs, obviously, you're putting it all on the line. You know, what is he as a regular season pitcher? Is he a couple home runs a game every other game? Is he more like the pitcher we saw in September? That's one of the more low-key questions around the Red Sox, is who is the Nate Eovaldi of the regular season? Nick, what's going on?
Hey, Evan, how are you? Long time no see. I miss you, miss seeing you in the ballpark every night.
You know, maybe someday I'll come on back. We'll have to. Me too, Nick, me too.
Well, I just wanted to say that I think tonight could be the turning point. You know, it was a good win against a good team. Anybody that thinks that Toronto's a lousy team just has to know that there's some great players in that farm system that aren't playing right now because they've got a pretty good team. If their pitching comes around, they could be, you know, contending this year. And I think the Red Sox beat a good team tonight. And you know, everybody's really down on them right now. I got a good feeling about this win. And next time I see Evan, I got the book. I really need that signature in there.
Nick, you got it. Thank you for the call. Big 50, Red Sox book by Evan Drellick. If you haven't picked it up, it is out there. Clearly, at least one person named Nick in Dover has bought it. Thank you, Nick. I don't think the Blue Jays are really a threat this year. They do have a farm system that's to be reckoned with, built in part by Ben Cherington. Some of you may remember him from such greatest hits as Mookie Betts, Xander Bogaerts, everybody else who powered the Red Sox, who was not a big ticket Dave Dombrowski acquisition. But, you know, in the coming years, it's going to be a very interesting division because the Orioles are run by people who know what they're doing now. Dan Duquette, you know, smart guy, did good things in this city, but, you know, the game certainly has changed. And the people running the Orioles are ex-Astros people. And the Astros, you know, you guys have seen what they've done. Pretty damn good franchise. And the Blue Jays got it coming up. Yankees and Red Sox seem pretty well positioned. Red Sox might be the one you worry about the most long term. You don't know what's going on down the road. But tonight, this is about tonight. It's about Mitch Moreland, the legend of Mitchie Two Bags, Mitchie Four Bags. You saw both of those guys tonight. I thought when Ryan Brazier gave up the home run, I'd be sitting here taking calls about the bullpen. Thought people would be calling up pitching. Why didn't they go out and get a reliever? You'd be yelling about Brazier. When really Ryan Brazier has done so well out of nowhere for this team, one of the better pickups this organization's made in recent years. He's allowed to give up a home run occasionally. The offense and the pitching need to be in a position where, I don't know, you're not down 5-0 in the third inning. That's the big thing. But tonight they were again, and they actually came back. And maybe this is the moment that turns it around, yada, yada, yada. The night they burned old Dixie down, that's the song I got in my head. Blair in Maine, what's up?
What's going on, man?
I'm drinking my coffee at 11:38 p.m., just like you, right?
Yeah, it's great time to call you. Because it was a great win, Mitch Moreland, the biggest, I mean, pretty much, I'm trying to spit it out. The two big hits by him, the one I really liked is the one Huff the Green Monster, the guy couldn't catch it, it hits off the big part of the outfield, which is like the Green Monster, I believe, right?
You're talking about the one Moreland? You're talking about the Moreland hit?
What about the steal for Nunez?
And then, no, Nunez is getting a lot of love tonight, sure.
Yeah, and then the base hit where we won it for the walk-off was cool, where he bounced the ball and it went in the outfield. That was it. The game was over then. I mean, we know how to win now. So that's all we need to do is be smart, know how to win, know how to pitch, play smart games, play them close if we have to play it close tomorrow night. We know how to win, Red Sox fans. So all we got to do is think to our Red Sox. We're thinking blue and red. We just got to think Red Sox are going to win the World Series this year because we know how to
yes.
win. And we're going to come back and we're going to do it, baby.
Blair from Maine for president right there. Real motivational speech. Alex Cora said today earlier on OMF he doesn't really do the team meeting thing. You don't need to do the team meeting thing, Alex. You got Blair from Maine to do it. Just bring him into the clubhouse, stick him in front of
pre-game pep talk.
Yeah, Blair clearly has got it. I mean, there is a believer right there. Although, you know, I don't think they forgot how to win prior to today. One of the last callers brought up Pedroia, and I didn't really get to it, but those double plays look good. I've been somebody who hasn't been on this. I care what's going on with Pedroia train because it is so unpredictable, and you really don't know what he's going to give you on a day-to-day basis. He doesn't know. The team doesn't. Nobody knows. So it's hard to get wrapped up in Pedroia as a long-term solution, but turning double play is fine. You know, he had a sack fly situation in this game, and a shallow fly ball to center where Rafael Devers kind of inexplicably tried to tag up and score, got thrown out of the plate. It was a weird choice for Devers to go. And I don't know if that was Carlos Feblis in his ear. Nobody's going to care after tonight. Would have been one of the topics we would have broken down if they had lost this game. But they ain't losing anything with Mitch Moreland around. Chris, what's going on? Chris, you there?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, so a couple things. First off, is everyone else that's called in tonight all right? Who knows? Second thing, yeah, I'm glad you brought up Rafi getting thrown out the plate. I was sitting a couple rows behind the Blue Jays their dugout. That was really, really bad. But the real reason I called in is just that we were sitting really close to the Blue Jays, and this guy Stroman, I didn't know much about him prior to tonight other than he can deal. We should try to get this guy. He's not getting paid. I think he's getting paid $500,000 by the Blue Jays. He has got some jazz. We were chirping him, and he was chirping right back. He right after the home run by the guy that has the most ridiculous name in all of MLB. What's the guy's name that hit
Rowdy Tellez?
Right, Rowdy. Yes. Right after that, he starts chirping all of the fans right behind the dugout, saying, "Can you all stat cast that? Can you all stat cast that?" So that's what prompted us all to chirp him.
And everybody kept it clean and friendly, right?
Very much so. Very much so. So much so that he was just shaking his head when he didn't agree with us. Shaking his head yes when he did. But no, I was looking up his stats. He seems like he's just getting wasted away in Toronto. We need to get people like that down here because I don't know, the guys we have don't seem like they can bring it. But at the end of the day, I don't know, what do you think about, is this a hangover or is this, you know, kind of what we have to live with this year?
Thanks, Chris. On the Stroman point, Stroman is going to be traded, likely this year. He's somebody who, if you followed him on Twitter or kind of followed him throughout his time in baseball, he kind of fits that David Price mold where he can be outspoken. You know, Stroman lets it fly. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He's a New York kid, went to Duke from Long Island. So, naturally, I like him because he's from New York. But he'd be good and bad here because he would tell you how it is, which I think this team and baseball, frankly, in general, needs. You need more people who are willing to actually speak up and be interesting on whatever the topic is and kind of aren't afraid to pull punches. But he's, you know, somebody who can create some problems for his team if you're of that mindset that somebody actually talking about a topic is a problem for the team. But he was critical of the Blue Jays, for example, the spring training because of Vlad Guerrero's service time issues, top prospect for the Blue Jays being held down. You know, he's one of the few guys out there that will say, hey, Blue Jays management, spend some money. I think more baseball players need to be like that generally. I think you need more guys who are willing to, you know, chirp with the fans. Keep it clean. Don't upset anybody. Don't say anything stupid. But you want that. You want somebody who's out there having fun, having a good time. Thanks. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate that. Eric and Malden, what's up?
Hey, I wanted to talk about, first of all, the starting pitchers are going to be fine. Everything is going to be okay. The world is not over. But secondly, Jackie Bradley Jr. looks absolutely lost at the plate. I thought he was going to have a really good year. He was working with JD's guy, apparently. But, man, he just looks terrible. And I'm scared the Red Sox are going to end up paying him. And we're not going to pay Mookie. So I just want to hear your thoughts on Jackie Bradley.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Eric. Jackie is one of a few in this lineup right now that you look at and go, this is not what you're hoping for. This is not what you want. When's Benintendi going to get going? Hasn't been a leadoff dynamo Do you want him in the leadoff spot? That's still a discussion we can have. You want Betts to be there permanently? JD Martinez has been good. Mitch Moreland has been freaking amazing. Beyond that, though, I like Mookie Betts so far. He's really not much knocking. I mean, his batting average is kind of low. But the power's there. The on-base is there for you nerds out there who look at things beyond batting average. Mookie Betts is doing just fine to start this year. You did want more from Jackie Bradley. Blake Swihart's look pretty good. Still miss Sandy Leon? They win this game tonight with Sandy Leon back there? Where are your Sandy Leon calls now, damn it? I didn't think so. I didn't think anybody was out there. 617-779-7937. Red Sox review. More after this.
No, it kind of threw me off. I looked up. I was like, hey, they're not supposed to have these around here, are they? But, I figured I'd try to hit it or something.
There was a drone over Fenway Park tonight. Middle of the Red Sox comeback. Storming back for a 7-6 walk-off win. They're down 5-0 in the third inning. I'm Evan Drellick. This is Red Sox Review. Got a little bit of time left. You want to sneak a call in? 617-779-7937. Caller a little while ago mentioned Jackie Bradley Jr. The updated stats, at least according to MLB.com, they seem to be accurate. I did not do the math myself, but shows 13 games played. You look at the offense real quick. 159 for JBJ. 15 strikeouts to 3 walks. No home runs yet. It's not a good start for Jackie Bradley in his new swing. There's pressure on him. There's pressure on him to get a contract. You know, we've seen him be streaky before. It did sound like the hitting coach work he did this winter and the rebuilding of the swing, he'd be in a better place, but it is early. You know, you talk about individual performances. Sample size does matter. You know, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the Red Sox starting 4-9 doesn't matter, but I do believe over the course of the season, you'll see the starting pitching come around. You see a lot of these hitters come around. The sample size at this point of the season is still very small. You're going to see some guys who are doing very poorly start to pick it up, and you'll see the opposite. Some guys who are doing great drop off a little bit. One guy to watch, Red Sox fans, I don't mean to tweak you on this one. Watch Yoán Moncada. Check out how he's doing with the White Sox. Prospects are going to start to hurt eventually. But hey, you've got Chris Sale. And you've got him now for a long, long, long time. If you flew the drone tonight, if you know who flew the drone tonight, if you saw the drone and were confused by it, I'd love to hear from you. Or if you just want to tell me about how fantastic it was to see the Red Sox actually win a game. Who knows? Maybe this is where it all turns around. I'm not big into that. It's just too easy a narrative for me. My takeaway tonight, me, Evan Drellick, former Red Sox beat writer, columnist, whatever the hell I used to do. The one thing throughout this season that's been there has been the offense late in games. Every time the starting pitching puts them in a hole, they're still fighting and clawing. You know, they're not really rolling over. Not that I would expect them to, but there hasn't been much defeat in this team. They're still scoring runs, even when they're down, you know, 14 runs. What was one of those games? And there's the game where Nunez ends up pitching. The offense was still going. You got a position player on the mound, and the hitters were still battling back. Yeah, you can tell me it's a bad team and all that, but the offense has been there late in games, and that's one thing that tonight won the game for them, and I think going forward, you feel good about because it's reminiscent of last year. Nick in the car.
Hey, Evan, I just want to touch on a couple of different things you talked about. I thought actually it's really interesting, the clip there from Mitch on the drone. I was at the game. I was there earlier in the game. It disappeared for a little bit. The umps and a couple of security people noticed it, and I was intrigued. I was wondering if the cameras, Nesson cameras, caught it. Mitch actually, in the ninth, stepped out, and the umps, and he pointed towards it, so I was interested if the cameras actually caught it. That was kind of a cool clip. But back to what you were talking about earlier, I think, and a couple callers, I think the fans were a little more into it tonight. I was one of those people that actually, I'm usually the cheap guy, but among all the things you talked about earlier, being cold midweek in April, I was actually, you know, spent a little more, was able to spring for some really good seats, three rows behind the Jays dugout, but the energy was there.
You going to tell us what those run you?
I actually got a pair for $125. I mean, you know,
wow.
So,
look, if you're going to do it, like, that's kind of where those tickets become affordable for some people. You know, that's...
Exactly right. I mean, you know,
it's still,
I'm usually the 2025, you know, sitting in the grandstand, but hell, you know, appreciate the season ticket holders that didn't want to go.
Did you hear Stroman chirping, too?
I did. I was actually probably a section or two over. Stroman definitely was, it was good. You know, it's, MLB lacks that sometimes, I think, you know, with guys that are relatable that can get into it with the fans as long as it's good-natured. But I think, you know, the energy was kind of that nervous energy for a little bit, even when in the ninth, you know, the fans tried to get into it, and then with Benintendi, you kind of like, oh, here we go again. You know, Mookie kind of gave you a little bit of hope, and then obviously Mitch, what I think can't be undersold. He's really been carrying the guys the first couple weeks here with his homers and big hits. And then obviously the Nunez heads-up steal was huge, and then Giles just didn't have it tonight. But I think, you know, obviously it's a little early to call it a turning point, but you don't want to dig yourself too big a hole, and I think tonight was a good step to at least stay even and not lose any more ground.
Thank you, Nick. That's a reasonable assessment. If they look, if they lose the next two games, who's going to be still calling this a turning point? That's the right attitude to take. You don't know if it will be, but you do feel good. And that nervous energy he was talking about, I think I was touching on that a little bit too, having not been at the ballpark. You Red Sox fans, you know you're masochists. You know you like a little bit of suffering. I really wondered how far they'd spiral out here. I never thought they'd spiral out to a point where we're talking about them not going anywhere in May. You know, they're going to be in this thing one way or another. They're going to make it interesting at some point. I guarantee and promise that. Red Sox are not dead in the water. They wouldn't be. But I thought they might lose this game. I thought it might continue a little bit. And you know what? A little bit of drama. There wasn't much last year. Playoffs, you want to argue? Going to Yankee Stadium? Yeah, there was a little drama there after Judge plays the boombox. But you haven't seen a lot of, you know, tests for this Red Sox team. And so it's interesting to see them respond now. I wouldn't have mind one more loss to cue the panic a little bit. Carl in the Cape, what's up?
Evan, you enjoying this?
It's killing me, Carl. God, all I want them to do is lose.
Yeah. Well, hey, here's the thing. I mean, coming from you, I mean, let's face the facts here. You counted them out all year last year.
Did I? Is that what I said?
You did. You counted them out.
I questioned the bullpen. There's a difference between counting them out and questioning the bullpen.
Question the bullpen, my friend. You question yourself out of a job, and you know it, and everybody else knows it.
Yeah. No, they sat me down, Carl. They said, boy, Evan, you need to be more pro Red Sox. That's what we want. That's definitely what they love. That's really what they wanted.
Listen, you were a hater from the beginning, and now you're just enjoying it. So suck it up now, because believe me, this team will be in it in the end.
Carl, I'm with you, baby. They did the mic drop, hung up on me. Cut me real deep. Red Sox review, we're going to wrap it up with Jack and Cape Cod. What do you got?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I just want to add to what Nick a couple of calls ago said about you saw a lot of confidence in this team in the ninth inning there. And I think that's something that can really be built on. But the reason I'm calling is the drone that was flying over. I got to say, I own one of those things, and the amount of time that thing was up, that guy had to have landed that thing, threw another battery in there, and threw it back up. I mean, to think that thing could sit up there and fly around the whole game, considering the technology they have in those things to be able to shut it down, it's crazy.
You know, thanks for the call, Jack. I didn't even think about, I mean, they got snipers. I guess I got to shoot a drone down, but it's a weird time to be living in with those things. You know, they're going to be delivering all your Amazon packages if you're still on the Jeff Bezos train, but I don't like that. I don't want a drone that some random guys, I don't know. I don't know what these things are capable of. I don't want it. I don't even want cell phones at games. I want to be there meditating, looking out at the beautiful green grass, feeling the energy of Fenway Park. That's the one thing I take away from Red Sox review tonight. I'm glad to know that people were out there and it was really jumping, because it's not always that way in April. It was a very big win. If there is such a thing in April, fine, I'll give in. I'll tell you it's a turning point. You happy now? You're going to turn it all around. Let's sing it. Let's sing it, Joe. Joe Cortez behind the glass. I'm Evan Drellick. That's Red Sox Review. Patrick Gilroy, the great Patrick Gilroy, is going to come on for, what are we calling it, WEI, late at night? Late night?
Late night.
Late night with Gilroy coming right up.